Nehemiah chapter 4, let's just read verse 14. And I looked, and rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Now I realize that we've gone backwards in the book. Gone backward several chapters in the book. But we are celebrating Father's Day today, and I thought, well, you know what? Doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that Nehemiah was a dad. Don't have any mention of a wife or any kids or anything like that. But Nehemiah is a great example of leadership. And dads, fathers, are supposed to be the leaders, the heads of their families. They are the priests of their families. They are responsible for their families. And so Nehemiah is a good example for fathers everywhere. Fathers should be builders. And that's what Nehemiah was. He was a builder. Now, before I get into the message, I said this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. We all, you know, there's fathers, there's stepfathers, there's foster fathers. There's uncles who have taken the place of fathers. There are grandfathers that have had to take the place of dads. All of those men are father figures in the lives of children. Boys need a manly father figure to teach them how to be manly. Little girls need a father figure to teach them the kind of man they ought to be looking for in a husband. Stephen Farrar wrote a book called Point Man. Every man in this room ought to get that book and read it if you've got children. It tells us that we need to train up masculine boys and feminine girls. They need to understand their gender role. And men, we have that responsibility. You know what? The wife doesn't need to be the man of the house. The man of the house needs to be the man of the house. That's God-given order. And when it gets flipped upside down, where there's role reversals, you got kids that are in turmoil in their mind because everything's out of whack. It's not the way God designed it. So men, and I'm talking to myself today, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back to when Crystal was first born and be a daddy all over again and know what I know now. You know, I remember Tim said one day, he said, how come you did things so much different with Victor than you did with me? And I looked at him and I said, well, all I can tell you is this. You and your sister made me a better daddy for Victor. I'm sorry you were born when you were born and not when Victor was born. I'm sorry you had to suffer through a whole lot of mistakes that I made as a dad, because I did. No man is born knowing how to be a daddy. Dads, that's where we need to teach them how to be dads. We need to teach them. I'm probably teaching better now how to be a dad than I was when I first started. I hope I am anyway, because I learned so many things. The Bible is a great place to start in learning how to be a good father, how to be a good dad. We've got so many kids today that don't even know who their dads are. We got mothers trying to be both father and mother, and may God bless them. I hope they do. I hope they're able to do a good job. My mama raised a masculine boy and a feminine girl. My dad was not in the picture as much as he should have been after I turned 13, and that's when I needed my dad. But I had other men in the family and relatives that picked up the slack, and I praise the Lord for them. But as we look at Nehemiah, we understand that Father's Day is a time to honor the men who stand in the gap. Men who build, protect, and lead their families in faith, or should. In Nehemiah's day, the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, the gates were burned with fire, the people were discouraged, but God raised up a man, a builder, a leader, a father figure, to restore what was lost. Do you realize that the family unit was the first creation as far as humanity is concerned? He created Adam and the woman. They became a family. They had kids. Satan attacks the family unit. And today, I'm telling you this. So as goes the families, so goes the nation. A nation is only as strong as the families that make it up. And families that are not ordered the way that God wants them ordered have a difficult time in doing what needs to be done. And right now in this country, we've got a whole lot of families that are absolutely broken. They're not in order the way that they should be. So we have this father figure. Nehemiah's story isn't about bricks and mortar, folks. It's about spiritual rebuilding. It's about the kind of building that every man should be willing to do with his family. Every generation needs men who will rise up and say, I will fight for my family. I will build what's broken. I will be a figure, a good example for my family. Men, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. A wife has very little trouble occupying her God-given position when the husband is what he should be. If he's not what he should be, there's trouble in the family. It starts at the top. First of all, a father is called to build. Nehemiah wasn't a priest or a prophet. You know what he was? He was a cupbearer, an ordinary man with an extraordinary burden. I look around this room and you know what I see? Ordinary men. Now you may be special to your family, you're special to God because he sent Jesus to die for you, but as far as this world is concerned, you're just ordinary. I don't see anybody in here with an IQ of 180. Anybody here got an IQ of 180? Jamie gets pretty close, but he lacks a little. Now, I know that's true because hair won't grow where brains is. Brother Donnie's right behind him. Oh, all jokes aside, we're just ordinary men in here trying to live the best life we can. When Nehemiah heard that the walls were broken, he didn't shrug it off. He wept, he prayed, and he took action. In Nehemiah 2:18, he tells the people, Do you see the problem that we've got? He said, let's rise up and build. That's the spirit of a godly father. He doesn't wait for someone else to fix the problem. He takes responsibility. Let's hit that for just a second. The family unit is to be responsible for the majority of the teaching of our children. But we've laid it off on the schools. We take our kids out of our homes and we put them in school when they're 3-4 years old, and we expect the school to teach them manners and teach them about integrity, teach them right from wrong. It's not the school's job. It's moms and dads, and it starts with you, Daddy. It's not their job to do that. I got news for you. We have a good teaching ministry here at Antioch, but it's not all of our responsibility to teach your child. That's your responsibility at home. Teach them at home. Be an example to them at home. Don't just say, well, a Sunday school teacher will teach them all they need to know, or the pastor will teach them all they need to know, or the teacher in the school will teach them all they need to know. No, that's passing the responsibility. That's passing the buck. If you weren't going to try to be what you should be, you shouldn't have had kids in the first place. And I'm going to tell you something. While I'm on a roll here, just go ahead and make people mad. There's a whole lot of people out there who shouldn't have kids because they want to be friends with their kids. They want to be buddies with their kids. I told my kids 1,000 times, I am not your friend. I'm your daddy. And I'll be with you. I'll be behind you. I'll stay with you when all your friends have turned tail and run. Mom and Dad will still be here. Because we love you in spite of yourself. We love you when you're good. We love you when you're bad. We love you when you don't, even when you don't make your bed up. We still love you anyway. Now, fathers, we're to build. Fathers are builders by calling. What do we build? Well, to be a father, you got to have a child. You are to build character in that child. You are to teach them right from wrong and what to do and how to deal with things. You are to build trust in your marriage. If the wife can't trust you, then the kids are not going to trust you either. You're to build faith in your home. You are the priest of your family. Don't say, go to church, get up and say, get your clothes on. We are going to church. Get in that car in time to be at church. I don't want to be late. You don't want to walk into Sunday school late. I want to be on time or early. You don't send them, you take them. You lead by example. You are to build a legacy in your community. People of the community will see your good works. They will glorify your Father which is in heaven. They'll know that you are a good dad to your children. A father's greatest construction project, folks, isn't a house. It's a home. Do you know you can build a mansion worth $20 million? It can have everything in it that a man could possibly want on this earth, and it still not be a home. It's just a house. A house needs a dad and a mom doing their God-given responsibilities, taking care of the family. Family, folks, is not made of wood and nails. A home is made of truth and love. In Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Do you know what that tells me? That suggests that without divine guidance or support, efforts in establishing something may be futile. The concept emphasizes the importance of seeking divine assistance in our endeavors. That's illustrated by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he warns against building on a weak foundation. Dad, the job is too big for you. You can't do it without the Lord's help. You cannot be the daddy that you should be without help from the Lord himself. If you try to do that, you are laboring in vain. You'll probably raise up a bunch of juvenile delinquents. You've got to have God's help. And God gave you the blueprint right here, and it's called the Bible. So don't try to be a good daddy without help from the Lord. A father builds with conviction. Nehemiah was so convinced that he was to build that wall and to help the people to build that wall and that God would help him to build that wall that he suffered ridicule, threats, discouragement, but he kept building because he knew the work was God's work. Let me tell you something. Building your children, building your marriage, that's something God wants you to do. That's something God will help you to do. It may not make you popular. Guess what? It may not even make you popular with your own kids. Because sometimes you're going to say, no, you can't go to that party. Because there's going to be things going on that you don't need to be around. Now, if you're going to tell them that, then you don't need to go to the same kind of parties. If you're going to tell them stay away from that stuff, you need to stay away from it too. You know, both my parents smoked. Not one time did they ever say for me that, or forbid me from smoking. All they said was, if you're going to do it, don't sneak around and do it. You know why they said that? Because they knew they smoked and they couldn't tell me not to if they did. So they just said, don't sneak around and do it. Be a good example. My kids, I couldn't tell my kids not to drive 60 in a 55. You know why? because I drive 60 in a 55. Now every cop in Howard County gonna be looking for me. My wife could look at him and say, don't drive past 55, because she don't drive past 55 in a 55. She obeys the law to the letter. So I have to be, you know, I can't tell them not to. Not a good example. So we have this responsibility. We need to realize our calling is sacred. We're not just raising children. We are raising young people to grow up and be disciples of Christ. You're leading them to Jesus. You want to see them saved. You want to see them go on and be good Christian people. You want to see them doing what's right. You want to see your son being a good daddy and your daughter being a good mama. A father needs to have courage to stand. Look at Nehemiah. When the enemy came against the builders, Nehemiah didn't retreat. He stood firm. What did he say in verse 14? Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. You got the Lord on your side. Fathers face spiritual warfare. Dad, Satan wants to attack you. He don't want you to be a good daddy. He doesn't want you to be a good example. He wants to cause you to slip and stumble and fall. The enemy attacks the home. Why? Because the home is the foundation of faith. If he can destroy the home, he can destroy it. He can destroy churches. He can destroy governments. He can destroy a nation. He attacks the marriage. Why? To divide. He attacks the children to deceive. He attacks the father to discourage. Listen to me. If you send your kids to church and you go do other things, that's nothing but discouragement to them. One day when they're old enough to make their own decisions, they'll quit. Because it wasn't important to you, it's not going to be important to them. Nehemiah said, remember the Lord. Courage doesn't come from confidence, folks. It comes from remembrance. It comes from remembering what God has done for you. Start with your own salvation. You're saved. Do you want your children to be saved? You should. If you don't, something's wrong with you. You should do nothing that would cast a stumbling block in front of them. You should do nothing that would ever detract from them being brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, brought to a point where it's their decision whether they accept Christ or not. You want them to. When you remember who God is, folks, fear loses its grip. You've got to stand strong. And folks, I'm not talking here about, one night when I lived at Winthrop, the security guy for Weyerhaeuser didn't know that I was living there. He thought the boss was. And he'd gotten stuck down there in Little River Bottoms, and he come up, and I saw the car drive up. I didn't know who it was, and I walked out on the front porch. And as he's coming through the shadows, he said, I ought to kill you. So I doubled my fist up, and I said, why me? He said, well, I ought to kill you. I said, you didn't answer my question. Why me? And he got a little closer, and he said, you're not Jimmy Tucker, are you? I said, no, sir, I'm not. You still ain't answered my question. Why do you want to kill me? I mean, I got a wife and two kids in there. You're not coming in this house. Don't walk up out of the shadows. I mean, I was ready to physically fight the man. He told my boss the next morning, he said, I think I about got a whooping over there last night. He said, that man's a little bigger than you are. I mean, I wasn't fleeing. I wasn't running. He wasn't coming through me. Now that's one kind of fight. But there's the spiritual warfare, folks, that we're in. Nehemiah said, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. That's not just a call to defend, that's a call to lead. Dad needs to be the one standing up. A father's fight isn't with fists, it's with faith. He's the one that said, okay, we're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're going to stand still and know that He is God. We're going to wait for Him to work. We're going to look for Him to work in this situation. But we're going to stand strong and firm. And we're not going to give in to the world. We're not going to give in to Satan. We're not going to give in to those things. A father fights on his knees with prayer and perseverance. He fights by example, by integrity, by steadfast love. I'm going to tell you something. A good father spends a lot of time in prayer. I've already lived through three kids going out driving on their own. And I've lived through three grandkids that I was around. I had two others, but I wasn't around them. I still worried about them, prayed about them every night. Guess what? Ellie's about to turn 16 here one of these days. I'm sure Victor's going to pray, but I know a grandpa is going to be praying. Every time I see her car go by, I'm going to be praying, Lord, ride with her. Help her to be safe. Lord, I need you to ride with her because I rode with this one over here, and you need to really ride with her. So he fights for what matters. A father is committed to finish what he started. Nehemiah's men worked with one hand, held a weapon with the other, in verse 17 of chapter 4. That's balance. That's work and warfare, building and battling. Fathers must stay faithful in both. Now let me make a little sidestep that's just popped into my mind. You think your family would rather have you or the things that your job can provide? I'm going to tell you something. You spend all your time at the job. You spend all your time working to provide them with things. And when they get old, you know what they're going to remember? They're not going to remember the four-wheelers. They're not going to remember the guns. They're not going to remember the swimming pools. They're going to remember you weren't there. They'd rather have you. They'd rather have... And you say, well, quality time. Folks, any time spent with family is quality time. Period. So don't get so wrapped up in this world that you gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Or gain the whole world and lose your own family. Or gain the whole world and lose your own children. You don't want that. A father must be faithful to both. He must work with diligence. A man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Worse than an unbeliever. So we work to provide for our families. We pray with endurance. We lead with integrity. We finish with faith. Nehemiah didn't quit when the work got hard. You know, I've heard stories of dads that have just jumped up and went out for ice cream and never came back. Got a little tough, so they quit. You know, Father, you can't do that. You don't leave your wife with those kids. They're yours. The wall was finished in 52 days. That's the power of perseverance. Your children are watching, Dad. They're watching how you finish. They're watching. Did you run off? Did you leave? Did you quit? Did you throw up your hands? Fathers, your children are watching you. Don't just start strong. Finish faithful. And then a father has a legacy of faith, and I must hurry. When the wall was finished, the people rejoiced because they saw what God had done. That's the legacy every father should want. A family that sees God's hand in their story. A family that can look back and say, look how God worked. Dad taught us this. Look how it worked. You know, we just sent Garrett off and I left him with these two things. I said, you've got a good head on your shoulders. Use it. You've been taught well. Remember it. Remember it. Don't stray from it. Remember it. A father leaves behind more than possessions, folks. When our fathers pass, they leave behind principles. Truth that anchors, faith that endures, love that leads, example that inspires. Nehemiah's leadership outlived him because it is rooted in God's truth and God's strength. A father's legacy isn't measured in wealth, it's measured in worship. So today we need to build those walls. Guard your home with truth. Don't let compromise creep in. Fight your battles. Stand for righteousness even when it's unpopular. Finish your work. Don't stop praying, teaching, and leading until your family sees God's glory. And leave your legacy. Let your children say, "My dad taught me how to trust God. My dad taught me how to be a man of or a woman of integrity." When Nehemiah looked at the broken walls, he didn't see defeat. He saw an opportunity. Folks, the Bible says that children are like little arrows. You know what an arrow does? An arrow flies at whatever you shoot it at. Children in our hands are to be arrows that are pointed toward the Lord. Point them toward the Lord. Dads, awesome responsibility. I'm going to tell you this. Without Jesus, you can't do it. That means you need to be saved. If you're not saved, be saved today. If you're already saved, then get right with the Lord and lead the way you should.